We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We've got 89 degrees, partly cloudy skies in the Twin Cities. Wind out of the northwest at 11 miles an hour. Sports Saturday continues. Eric Nelson with you, going solo now until 6 p.m. Stevie T, my tag team partner, has exited the building. He will soon be on I-94, journeying toward the northern suburbs and his palace that overlooks the mighty Mississippi River. J-Lo Jonathan Lowe is our studio coordinator, and in the newsroom, Sloan Martin. Twins and Tigers will be playing tonight, game two of the three-game weekend series. That's a 6:10 first pitch over at Trendy Target Field. And joining us now is Tigers broadcaster Dan Dickerson. Dan, thanks so much for your time. A good win for Detroit last night. Victor Martinez, he certainly loves hitting at Target Field, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. I made notes of which hitters like hitting here most. He was right at the top. I think it was 360 with power, and he hit home runs 10 and 11 in his career in this ballpark last night. It was pretty impressive, much needed. And really, I mean, that's the kind of thing you're looking for. The Tigers need some guys to step up with J.D. Martinez gone, and Victor's an obvious candidate, so is Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah, no question. The only guys to hit more home runs as visitors at Target Field are Salvador Perez and Jose Bautista. You mentioned Miguel Cabrera. He got dinged up last night in the game. What's his status right now, Dan?
He's going to sit out today. I think Brad just feels like he's one more day and then should be back in tomorrow.
Okay. And where are the Tigers right now in the sense that record-wise, 44-51, 5.5 games behind Cleveland in the AL Central? Does the team still view itself as a ball club that can, you know, get on a run and get into the wild card chase, maybe even the divisional chase? I mean, you're not out of it by any stretch.
No, it's a team that has not been able to get on a roll this year. It's a team that I firmly believe, I mean, absolutely does have talent that has just not been able to get on a roll this year. I always look at starting pitching as a reason for a team either getting on a roll or not being able to, and I think that's held the Tigers back this year. But it's going to be a really odd, I think, last week heading up to the trade deadline last week in a couple of days, because I don't think there's any question the Tigers are listening to any and all offers for any player of value that another team might want, while at the same time believing that even if you were to trade, say, a Justin Wilson, I think Justin Verlander would be more difficult to trade. I think if the odds are he'll be a Tiger in August. Even if you trade a couple of key pieces like Justin Wilson and J.D. Martinez, you're still going to have a starting rotation that has a chance to be a really good starting rotation for the last 2 months of the year. So the players look at it as they're absolutely still in this thing. They absolutely believe they can still get to the point where they can get back over 500 and make things interesting.
Well, Dan, as you're well aware of, the Minnesota Twins are saluting their 87 World Series championship team. That was 30 years ago, and that was an 85-win regular season ball club. So you look at that American League Central right now, Cleveland on top, 49-45, Twins and Royals in second at 48-47. The winner of this division, you know, they may be between 88 and 91 wins. It's not a juggernaut division right now.
I think 90 is the upside. I don't picture, I mean, you look at Minnesota, you look at Kansas City, these are teams that have been outscored by 30, 40, and 60 runs. It's amazing that these teams are where they are right now. Cleveland's outscored their opponents by 60 or 70 runs. That's a team that I still think is the clear favorite in this division and should get to 90 wins. I don't see anybody else getting 90 wins. But your point's a good one. What if? What if this is a year that Cleveland never does get on a roll and their starting pitching certainly has been up and down, and maybe they top out at 86, 87 wins. Maybe that's all it'll take to win the Central this year or to sneak in as a wild card. That's why I think it's making it so interesting, heading to the trade deadline, how many teams are still figuring they might be in it, or they have to figure out if they are indeed in it, and should they be buyers or sellers.
Yeah, it is amazing. With the exception of Houston in the AL, the LA Dodgers in the NL, and obviously Colorado and Arizona are having good seasons, it seems like there's a lot of parity in Major League Baseball, Dan. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would. I don't remember. I mean, this is usually when you start seeing teams separate themselves from the pack. New York, for instance, reminds me a lot of Toronto. A couple of years ago, Tigers traded David Price to Toronto. That was a team that had outscored their opponents at the time by 100 runs, and they were barely above 500, maybe even a game below, which doesn't make any sense. Well, New York's in the same category. And it just seems to me that with the right deal, that's a team that could take off. And those are the teams that I look at. Who are the teams that have been the best at outscoring their opponents, the best run differential? Those are the teams that should take off in the last couple of months with the right piece. Toronto did 2 years ago. You certainly think the Yankees could. The teams that are well below in run differential, those are the ones that I think have the tougher time unless they make a dramatic move at the trade deadline. But I think your point's a good one. There is a lot of parity, and I think this is one of the first times that you may see an 84, 85 win team sneak in as a wild card.
Dan Dickerson, our guest, he's the play-by-play voice of the Detroit Tigers tonight. Tigers and Twins, game two of the three-game series at Target Field, 6:10 first pitch. Dan, we talked earlier in the season, and I don't think either of us thought the Twins would be hanging around this long, but they've certainly had one of the great turnarounds so far. They were 59-103 last season, and they're only a game and a half out now as we head into late July. How surprised are you by the Minnesota Twins being where they are?
Very. I keep looking at how are these guys doing it? You've been outscored by roughly 60 runs, and yet there hasn't been a time once the Twins got over 500 that they've fallen back below 500. There are only three teams in the American League with a winning record on the road, and the Twins are one of them, and they're not barely over 500. They're 26-17 on the road. I always look at teams and how they play on the road. Those are signs of a good team if you can play well on the road, because you figure a good road team should be able to win at home, and they haven't been able to do that. I've been very impressed because I keep looking at it. I mean, seriously, the starting pitching outside of Santana and Barrios is a big question mark, and obviously it's been a struggle for Paul Molitor to find five guys, A, to stay healthy, and B, to be effective in the rotation. But I think I look at the improved defense as being a big factor. Tigers' defense has been better this year, and I think we've certainly seen that play out in a number of games, helping the Tigers win versus very poor defense last year. But to me, it's amazing. I think it speaks to the job that Paul Molitor and these players have done, just the believing that they can absolutely stay in this race. But right now, I mean, run prevention is a problem, and yet here they are, 1.5 out.
And you talked, Dan, a lot about run differential, and the Twins are a minus 64. By comparison, the Tigers are a minus 21, and yet they have a worse record. How much weight do you put on that category? Because I can remember, not that long ago, you'd look at the standings, there was no such thing as run differential.
Right. I look at it I think this is something that a point somebody made a couple of years ago I thought made a lot of sense. It was either Baltimore or Seattle, one of those years where they had been outscored and yet were above 500. I think they were even 10 games above 500 heading into August and, trying to evaluate that team. And the point was, yes, they will probably level off and maybe play 500 ball from here on out, but those wins are in the book. And I thought that was a great point. Those wins are in the book. Twins have been outscored by 64 runs, but these 48 wins or whatever it is right now, those are in the books. And so if they can find a way to play, a little bit above 500, have a positive run differential that here on out, then they can maybe get to where they want to be. But what I did last year, I looked last year, guys, at how many teams, what's the max number of wins a team has had in the last, I think it was 20 years, when they've been outscored. And I think 84, maybe 185 is the max number of wins. So in other words, it does matter. It's hard to be outscored, and the Yankees have been outscored and had a winning record three of the last 4 years, but they've topped out at 84 wins. So it's hard to get anywhere much above that unless you have a positive run differential.
Justin Verlander, his name is swirling on the trade market. What are you hearing?
Well, to me it's intriguing. The Tigers are not going to dump his salary. You don't trade Justin Verlander, who is an icon in Detroit, rightfully so, unless you get a ton in return. And so, to me, the Tigers only make this deal if a team says, we believe he is an ace, and his postseason track record suggests that this is a guy who can be a difference maker for us in the postseason. I'm looking at the Dodgers. I mean, there's a team that's won four divisions in a row, but they haven't gotten the ultimate prize. could this be a difference maker? Look at the Houston Astros. Could this be a difference maker on a staff that right now is not a powerhouse staff? Obviously, they're great, but how about a difference maker? So you would have to find that team that believes that. And I will say this about Justin Verlander. His stuff is great, and the fastball is actually up incredibly, a mile and a half an hour from last year to 95. It's just that he's not been able to throw consistent strikes. I mean, as odd as it sounds, it's almost like he's learning to pitch with more this year at age 34. But on any given day, the slider, curveball, change, fastball combination is Cy Young worthy like last year. So you would have to find that team. Now, my gut feeling is I don't think there is a team out there that's going to take on that salary. Now, if you got three really good prospects in return and you had to pay some of that salary, I think the Tigers would, but it would have to be a really good haul. They're not just going to dump the salary. The worst-case scenario is the Tigers still have Justin Verlander on August 1st.
Yeah, you can do worse than that. One more thought for you, Dan. I'll let you get ready for the broadcast. I always go back to the 84 Tigers who got out of the gate at 35-5. They were wire-to-wire winners. World Series champions. That was a remarkable start, Sparky Anderson and that gang. The Dodgers in the middle of the season have had a run similar. I think it was, 31 out of 35, something like that. What the Dodgers are doing is historic, isn't it?
Absolutely is, and you're right. That's the first thing I thought of when they went 31-4 is that amazing 35-5 start. I'm not sure we'll ever see anything like that again. To see 31-4 was just eye-opening. I mean, I haven't really paid attention to how they're doing it, but I'm certainly aware of Cody Bellinger, but Alex Wood's season, I know he got knocked around last night, but it's a ridiculous season to go along with better than Clayton Kershaw. And it's phenomenal what they've done there. If I'm the Dodgers, I'm trying to think, what more do I need to put together? But that's a great team right now. And it's be fun to see the Tigers actually get a chance to see them at Comerica Park next month, and I'm actually really looking forward to seeing it. They've obviously done some things right there.
Yeah, that's certainly going to be a great series in Michigan. The Twins play the Dodgers beginning on Monday, so they're going to find out just how good LA is out there at Chavez Ravine. Dan, always good to catch up with you. Have a great broadcast tonight.
All right, guys. Good talking to you.
All right, he's Dan Dickerson, does a fantastic job calling baseball for the Detroit Tigers radio network. Again, Tigers Twins tonight, 6:10 p.m. First pitch over at Trendy Target Field. It's 89 sticky degrees on WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
89 degrees, partly cloudy skies, wind out of the northwest at 12. Dew point, though, sticky, 66. 4:23 on a sports Saturday. Hope you're in a pool, in a lake, in a river, doing something to stay cool. Welcome back. Eric Nelson with you here until 6 p.m. In a few minutes, we'll talk with Kevin Lynch from Fox Sports North, one of the Timberwolves broadcasters. Kyrie Irving saying that he wants out of Cleveland. There are four teams that he would like to potentially go to. Four landing spots, if you will. San Antonio, New York, Miami, and Minnesota. My goodness, the perception of the T-Wolves changing as we speak. Next hour, Sports in the Courts with our good friend Lee Hutton. We'll get into the release of O.J. Simpson from prison in Nevada. That will happen in October. He was granted parole earlier this week. We'll find out what's in store for O.J. once he is free again. And then at 5:35, Al Newman joins us. He was a part of that 87 Minnesota Twins World Series title team. He's been at the reunion ceremony since Thursday, last night, tonight. So it's a festive weekend as the Twins turn back the clock 30 years and salute their 87 championship team. And it's hard to believe it's all gone by at warp speed. I know last night Tom Kelly gets a statue. So congrats to TK. When you go to Target Field now, especially if you enter on the 6th Avenue, Target Field Plaza area, you'll see the statue. Obviously, Harmon Killebrew's got one, Kirby Puckett, Carl and Eloise Polad have one. Then in another area of the ballpark, Ken Herbeck's got a statue. There's a lot of statues at Target Field. So you think about it, Tom Kelly to my knowledge, the only manager slash coach to ever get a statue in Minnesota. Bud Grant doesn't have one. I don't think Bernie Bierman has one. So TK, in elite company, congrats. Did you see the home run last night hit by Yankee slugger Aaron Judge, who was here earlier this week? I went out and saw the Yankees play the Twins twice. And believe me, I wanted to see Judge with my own eyes. Now, the Twins did a pretty good job against Aaron Judge. He did not hit a home run at Target Field. He did have a remarkable throw, though, on Monday. Guy's got a bazooka for a right arm, throwing out Brian Dozier at home plate on a sack fly attempt. One hopper to the plate. But the home run last night, the Yankees in Seattle playing the Mariners at Safeco, Judge hits his MLB leading 31st tater. It was a monster blast. I think it came down in Puget Sound, almost a splashdown. It was, I don't even think they were able to get the distance on it. It left the yard so quickly, and I don't even know if we know where it is, but he's certainly a fun guy to watch, Aaron Judge of the New York Yankees. If you're looking for something to do tonight besides the Twins, you can always go to scenic CHS Field. The St. Paul Saints will host Salina. That's a 7:10 game, so a couple of baseball options here in the Twin Towns on this Saturday. We focused a lot on Target Center and the renovation, $150 million makeover, if you will. I know they had a media tour on Monday. Stevie T went to that. Our good friends to the east of us, across the St. Croix, 5 hours, 6 hours east on I-94 in Milwaukee, they're getting a brand new venue. That's right, the Bucks are getting a new state-of-the-art $524 million arena that is scheduled to open in 2018. Now, the Bucks, I think, are a lot like the Timberwolves. They feel like they're trending up. And unlike the Wolves, they've actually made the playoffs recently. They were a playoff team this past season. Now, the Chicago Tribune is saying that the Bucks might start courting fans from Illinois who normally would go to Bulls games. When you think about it, the Chicago Bulls arrow is pointing down after that Jimmy Butler trade that upset the apple cart, so to speak, down there in the Windy City. There are some selling points to maybe going to a Bucks game as opposed to a Bulls game. Remember, Milwaukee, not that far north of Chicago. Trafficologists at Google Maps estimate that it takes 1 hour and 18 minutes to drive the 31.2 miles from Lake Forest, Illinois, to the United Center. Meanwhile, the 63.4-mile trip to Milwaukee can be done in an hour six. So you take an hour 18 or an hour six, new arena, all that stuff. Maybe Milwaukee will lure in some fans. Also, it costs a lot more to watch games in Chicago than Milwaukee. The Bulls have the NBA's fifth-highest average ticket price. Half of the Bucks tickets will be $50 or less. So this is all from the Chicago Tribune. Meanwhile, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is calling the arena part of the remaking of downtown Milwaukee, an extraordinary building boom with projects totaling $1.4 billion. And I've seen renderings of what that Bucks arena is going to look like. It's very unique, and I think Milwaukee's going to get a cool place to play basketball games and have concerts. And it's Mortenson out of Golden Valley, Minnesota, on the construction. So it's always a good sight when you go into a major city and you see a lot of cranes in the air. That means they're going through a building boom. Well, we see that here in Minneapolis. Obviously, it's going on in Milwaukee as well. It's 429 here on WCCO. Thermometer says 89 degrees, partly cloudy skies, wind out of the northwest at 11. Sauna-like outside, dew point 66. 434, it is a sports Saturday. Eric Nelson with you. WNBA All-Star Game has gone final. The West wins it 130 to 121 over the East. And Maya Moore of the Minnesota Lynx is your game MVP. Maya Moore, in 23 minutes of action, came up with a solid performance for the Western squad. She had 33 points, including 5 3-balls. So Maya Moore gets your MVP of the WNBA All-Star Game. And joining us now is Kevin Lynch from Fox Sports North, one of the Timberwolves broadcasters and Boy, Kevin, just what Maya Moore needs, another honor, another trophy to put in her trophy case.
Yeah, that was nationally televised game too, wasn't it?
Yeah, ESPN. So
well, it just looks like the Lynx are on their way to being a big factor. It's too bad they didn't win the title last year, but boy, they're just loaded with talent.
Yeah, they really are. And I know you're a basketball fan of you know, all levels, a WNBA, NBA, college, high school. When you think about what the Lynx have with Maya and Simone and Lindsay and Sylvia Fowles, who might be the MVP this season, Cheryl Reeve does a great job. Her staff does a great job of these gals play team basketball. They go out and get it done, don't they?
Yeah, they do. You know, in fact, you know, it's funny. I was lucky enough to meet John Wooden out in Los Angeles. This is a couple weeks before 9/11. And I met him, and my teammate, my college teammate, Bob Martin, and I were out there. And I'll never forget, you know, I was never a huge women's basketball or girls basketball fan. I've always, you know, it was great, and it needed they play good basketball. But when I talked to John Wooden that one day, he said he enjoyed watching women's basketball more than men's basketball because of the team play. And ever since he said that to me, I always tried to watch the Lynx and women's and girls basketball as much as I can, because I think that's true. You know, that's really the beauty of the sport of basketball, is watching players play together and teamwork and on the same page. And that's what makes the game attractive to me. So John Wooden's words are echoing in my ears every time I watch women's basketball.
And Kevin, you think about that. It's like getting a few minutes with the Pope. You're able to visit with John Wooden, yeah, the Wizard of Westwood, 10 NCAA titles at UCLA, and certainly one of the all-time great coaches in history. What was
regardless
that like?
Of the sport, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he just I guess throughout my life, I've been around some, you know, I guess more famous maybe athletes, you know, guarding Michael Jordan or playing against Shaquille O'Neal or whoever. And but that was beating John Wooden for me was that was a special 2 hours I spent. I mean, I was in his, Bob and I were in his apartment in Encino, California, and we were talking all sorts of different things for a couple hours, like I said, and he was really into poetry. And so at some point when we were with him, he was reading us poetry, and some of it from some of his former players, like Sven Nader, had written some poetry and had given it to him. And he was we were in his apartment, in his condo, John Wooden. And so there's a moment I'm like, I'm sitting in John Wooden's condo and he's reading us poetry. And I kind of said that to myself a few times. And at that time he was 92 years old or whatever he was at that time. But it was, just the fact that you get to spend a couple hours with a guy like that. That's one of my highlights, I got to say, as far as meeting or being around with a sports giant, which, as everybody knows, John Wooden was.
Yeah, that is incredibly cool stuff. We talk right now with Kevin Lynch from Fox Sports North, part of the Minnesota Timberwolves telecasts. And, of course, most of us have heard the story, Kevin, but once upon a time, the Minnesota Gophers thought they were going to hire a guy by the name of John Wooden out of Indiana, and they're trying to get him on the phone to iron out the details, if you will. And there's a blizzard, and you can't make the connection. And so there was no trip to Minneapolis for John Wooden. He ends up going to UCLA, becoming the Wizard of Westwood. Did we miss out on the Wizard of Williams?
Wizard of Williams Arena. Yeah, I would say definitely we did. I mean, you know, when I met him, he confirmed that story, and he told us about what happened in the snowstorm, and he was going to take the Gopher job. Now, this was back in the 1940, late 40s, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, because he was at UCLA a bunch of years before he ever won his first national championship, and then they went on that roll. But he confirmed that story, that he was going to come. He was a Midwestern guy from Indiana. And he wanted the Gopher job, and then the snowstorm hit, the phones were out, and then he during that time, he also had the offer from UCLA, and that was his second choice, and then decided to take the job. And then when the phones were reconnected after the blizzard here, then the AD at that time from Minnesota called him, and he said, well, I can't back out now. I already took the job. So, of course he did. You know, he also benefited, and he talked about this when I met him. And, you know, that program benefited from California, and you're from that area, Eric, so you know, just exploding back in the 50s and 60s. And so all that untapped basketball talent at the high school level, he was able to bring some of that top talent in, obviously. And then, of course, the big one was getting Lou Alcindor from New York City, Power Memorial High School. That was the big one. And then that led to Bill Walton and Sidney Wicks. And yeah, it was it's a pretty interesting story. And his life was interesting.
Yeah, and you wonder, had he come here, it may have been a little more challenging to get Lou Alcindor, who later became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, or Bill Walton, who was a San Diego guy, to come to Minneapolis. But one can speculate, Kevin.
Yeah, I know. You know, in fact, I was just talking to my dad yesterday about when they recruited Lou Alcindor. So he flies out there when he was a senior in high school. He goes all the way out to California, and they recruit him. John Wooden basically said, he's like, well, we really want you, and we're offering you a scholarship. And then at the end of that visit, Lou Alcindor told him, he said, well, in the fall, this upcoming fall, next year, I'm coming. And Wooden said, well, great, we'd love to have you. But then he wasn't so sure, you know, when it was so far away from New York City, and he knew that Lou Alcindor was pretty close to his parents, and he kind of figured he'd just never show up. It's just a different time, you know, where guys would, you know, they'd verbally commit, but they'd just never come. But sure enough, like a day before the first day of classes that next fall, sure enough, he's on campus, and Wooden is like, oh my God, we got this guy. We got this guy. And everything after that was gravy. They had won a couple national championships before Kareem got there. But then, of course, they won three in a row, and then they just kept winning after that. So it's I've read a couple of Wooden's books, and that whole situation with Alcindor is pretty interesting.
Yeah, and freshmen at the time could not play, so Kareem's freshman team would routinely beat the UCLA varsity team that would go on and win the title that year. So you know how good he was. They outlawed the dunk for a while. And I wonder, too, Kevin, because you follow hoops so closely, if you package Kareem's career at UCLA with his unbelievable NBA career in Milwaukee and then with the LA Lakers, are we talking about maybe the all-time greatest collegiate / NBA player? He just seems to not get enough credit.
Yeah, yes, exactly. We need to sit down on your radio show, Eric, and talk about this for 2 or 3 hours. It's something that just never makes sense to me, because the greatest of all time, okay, it's LeBron James. No, it's Michael Jordan. No, it's Magic Johnson or Larry Bird or whoever. And what gets forgotten in that conversation is our names like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell. And it kind of just turns me upside down when these conversations of the all-time great all-around player, everybody talks Jordan or even Oscar Robertson, LeBron James, but you never talk about the big guys. And when Kareem and Wilt and Russell were in their primes, they were unstoppable. They could do anything out there. And the numbers that they posted it's just interesting how the centers never get the proper due, I think. And yeah, when Kareem was in his, you know, 20s and 30s, and he played a long time, obviously, played 20 years in the NBA, that guy was a dominant player for almost two decades. And he doesn't get enough credit, as well as with other big guys.
No, I agree. And you know, you think about his career at UCLA and then in the NBA, and then he had a stint in Airplane. I think that trifecta alone makes him the greatest basketball player in history. And let's not forget, Kevin, he invented the skyhook that nobody could guard it. Nobody has since replicated it. I mean, the skyhook is totally copyright Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
The most dominant shot of the history of basketball was the skyhook. And Roger Murdoch was tremendous at the. I'm just joking, Eric. Roger Murdoch is his name in the movie of So, anyways,
Okay,
Kareem. Yeah, and it's just so. Anyways, it's he had an unbelievable career, and it's kind of funny how Kareem has just kind of fallen off the map in a lot of ways. I know he didn't treat the media very well, and he upset a lot of people as a player when he was in his. And Wooden also talks about how poorly. And he witnessed how poorly Alcindor was treated by people back in those days in the 60s at UCLA, and he witnessed it. So, you can't blame Kareem because he was treated not the best in some ways. But as far as just being a dominant player, he was, you could argue, he was the greatest of all time.
Yeah, I think he built up a shell because of how he was treated. You're right, he was viewed as aloof. I remember living in Southern California. Kareem's aloof, and Magic was everybody's friend. And so it was like the polar opposites personality-wise. But, Kevin, stick around for a minute or two. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll get into the Timberwolves and some guy named Kyrie Irving. This is WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
89 degrees on a steamy sports Saturday in the Twin Cities. We continue to visit with Kevin Lynch from Fox Sports North as we talk hoops. And Kevin, I don't know if this thing's even close to being reality, but we know that Kyrie Irving wants out of Cleveland. He's tired of being eclipsed by LeBron James. And he has said there are four destination spots he would like to go to: New York, San Antonio, Miami, or Minnesota. Does that mean the perception of the Minnesota Timberwolves has changed, that this is no longer the NBA's North Pole?
I would say so, if this is all true. I mean, you know, I'm still kind of grieving. I think you and I have talked a little bit about this in the last couple of weeks. The fact that Zach LaVine is gone. I really liked LaVine. I think he could be a star in this league, and he's on his way as long as he gets healthy. But so this whole Butler deal and the trade to get Jimmy Butler has kind of slowly been getting me excited, because I've been just dealing with grieving Zach LaVine and the fact that he's gone. But yeah, I mean, look at what, you know, if in fact Kyrie Irving did talk about that and say Minnesota would be a team he'd want to get traded to. I mean, that's the benefit of pulling the trigger on a deal like the Jimmy Butler deal. And now it's serious now. I mean, people are taking this team pretty seriously, and other players are willing to come here. So as much as I miss Zach LaVine, the fact that the Wolves pulled the trigger on this trade to get Jimmy Butler, I think other players around this league are looking at the Wolves as a contender now, and a team that's going to make some noise and maybe potentially someday play for a championship. So, it's pretty interesting that he brought up Minnesota, I thought.
And he's a top-flight point guard. We all know that. Yeah. He's been on three Cleveland teams that have gone to the finals the last 3 years. They've won one, lost two. He makes over $18 million a year. Could this match up? Could this fantasy become reality? Is he a guy the Timberwolves want or should chase?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I heard you and Steve Thompson talking about an hour ago. I was listening to you guys' show. By the way, you guys have a great show, and I really enjoy listening to it. But Kyrie Irving is, I think at least offensively, you could argue he's the most talented offensive player in this league. Now, some people say Westbrook or Harden or Durant or Curry, but this guy is just as good or better than some of those guys. I think if Irving, if you just unleash that guy and you just let him score, I think he could do what Westbrook did last year as far as leading the league and scoring in the NBA. And look, at he averaged over 25 points a game with other great players around him, so he was limited in how much he could touch the ball with Cleveland. So if you let him go and score, he's an incredibly talented guy. He's a top five, top 10 player in the league. I don't think any question. He's not a great defensive player, but a lot of these top scorers, none of those guys play great defense. But yeah, do the Wolves try to look into this? I think they should. And if they would somehow pull the deal and get Kyrie Irving on this team, and maybe this is just a pipe dream, who knows? But if they could do that, then it gets really serious. Kyrie Irving, I think, is one of the top
guys at this level as far as just pure talent. I just love his game.
So if you were to bring in Kyrie, does that mean automatically a guy like Jeff Teague is trade bait? Are you able to keep Andrew Wiggins? What kind of return would Cleveland get?
Well, that's the good question. I mean, as much as I like Irving, I would not do a deal where Butler's leaving or Karl Anthony Towns is leaving. I wouldn't do that. But just about anybody else on this roster, I would consider it. And that includes Andrew Wiggins. And I like Andrew Wiggins, but Irving is an unbelievable talent. And, if you could, pull a deal off where you trade even, like, say, Jeff Teague, Gorgui Dieng, and a couple first-round picks, I mean, something like that, I would seriously consider doing. And even if I came down to you'd have to part with Andrew Wiggins, that would be something I'd consider as well. I just think that much of Irving's game.
Kevin, the NBA, the association, I think this offseason they have garnered more attention than any other offseason maybe in history. It's almost NFL-like. The way the NBA's had a knack for staying in the news cycle. I mean,
Yeah. We
crowned a champion last month, Golden State. And then the draft came. Then you had the free agency buzz. But you're still getting stuff out there in the news cycle. The Summer League got a lot of attention thanks to Lonzo Ball. Now you have things like John Wall signing a deal or Kyrie Irving saying, I want out. It's amazing. The NBA is stealing headlines from Major League Baseball. And quite honestly, right now, Kevin, I want to focus on the pennant races.
Well, look at the NBA Summer League. I mean, they're nationally televised games now. ESPN, ESPN2, you could watch Lonzo Ball play against Markelle Fultz or Dennis Smith Jr. You can start watching these guys. They're on multiple nights in June or July. So, yeah, I mean, maybe they're taking the cue from the NFL, which has already kind of done that, haven't they, the NFL?
Yes.
And so the NBA is they had that award show where they, where Westbrook gets the MVP and stars and movie stars are showing up and other athletes as well. So, they're staying in the news for, and then all this money, the salary cap going up. So it's great for guys like you and I, because it's a lot of interesting stuff to read and potential things happening. So it's fun.
It gives us a lot to talk about. All right, Kevin, we'll let you go. As always, good stuff. And thanks for sharing your memories of your moment with the Wizard.
Anytime, Eric. A lot of fun. Have a good weekend.
All right, very good. Same to you. He's Kevin Lynch, does a great job, Fox Sports North, part of their pregame, halftime, and postgame stuff when the Timberwolves are playing. Of course, you can hear all the Wolves games on radio right here on WCCO. And the season, still a few months off, but certainly a lot of buzz around the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's what Jimmy Butler has done. Taj Gibson, Jamal Crawford, Jeff Teague. And now, and like Kevin and I were talking about, who knows if Kyrie Irving will ever become a Minnesota Timberwolf player. But just the fact that he said, I want to go to four teams and one of them is Minnesota, tells me the perception of the Timberwolves has changed. No longer is the Twin Cities viewed as the North Pole of the NBA. It's now looked at as a potential landing spot. How about that? Kyrie Irving, one of the top players in the NBA, saying that Minnesota is on his short list. I think that alone should make Wolves fans happy. And I would say that is the Butler bounce. Jimmy Butler. This guy has universal street cred around the NBA. And that draft day deal, I think that was a bold stroke of genius for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, they still got to go out and win games. They got to prove themselves. They got to get in the playoffs. Nobody's going to hand them anything. But they've certainly had a very good offseason. And the arena, the renovation, close to being done. And we'll have a new-look Target Center come November when the Timberwolves start up the 2017-2018 season. Update from TCF Bank Stadium on the pitch, late second half. I believe it's the 88th minute. The New York Red Bulls leading Minnesota United 2-0. So once again, Minyu having trouble scoring goals. And it is a shutout in the making, a clean sheet perhaps, for the Red Bulls, and you can only imagine how hot it is at TCF. 89 degrees right now, air temperature. They're on field turf, so that probably jacks up the temp at least 10 degrees. So a hot and steamy day over there in Dinkytown. It's 4:57 on WCCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.